So have a blessing, everyone, on this Sabbath, February 21st, 2026. This is our lesson of our review for a new chapter, chapter 31, entitled A Day of Judgment, of our lesson 31 in a storybook, A Story of Jesus. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room. And we are going to ask our dear brother once more to bless us with the tiny talk theme to our hymn. Just a minute.
She thinks I have it memorized. Let's admit Grace here. Come in, Grace. Both of you. If she ever said I've forgotten why, she always comes in as twins. But that's okay. That swells the crowd, apparently. Maybe they've had a blackout in New York. Victoria, come in.
I apologize, dear ones. And now we're going to hand it to our dear brother. The theme to the Tiny Tot song is The Judgment Has Set, hymn 416.
The judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day? When every thought and word and action, God the righteous judge shall weigh. How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away? The work is begun with those who are sleeping. Soon will the living here be tried. Out of the books of God's remembrance, his decision to abide. How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away? Oh, how shall we stand the moment of searching, when all our sins those books reveal? When from the court each case decided, shall be granted no appeal. How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away? I hope the latter. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. if we're going to ask any of the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, would like to open their lessons with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for the seventh day. Please protect the seventh day to keep it holy. 6 days, show their labor and do all their work in the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect me and the people that's in the Sabbath and the people that's joining the Sabbath. Please protect the new things that we're going to learn to keep in our heads about Jesus and God in heaven. And please protect everybody that I know in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, dear little one. It's story time for our precious little ones to learn their lesson for this new chapter. So let's have a listening ears, dear one, because we are going to be covering chapter 31 entitled A Day of Judgment in our tiny top lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And I will pass it to our dear brother.
Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the following books: Jude, Matthew, Genesis, and Isaiah. Let's let Karen in here momentarily. The opening scripture is taken from Jude 14. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam. In other words, Adam was, wait a minute. Enoch was Adam's child, grandchild, great-grandchild, great-great-grandchild, great-great-great-grandchild. He was down there a ways. But Adam and he got to talk together, so that was good. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. He must have had a vision of Jesus' second coming. And Matthew 25:32 says, And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And Genesis 7:1 says, And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. There were lots of wicked people there, but very few righteous. Genesis 19:14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They didn't live to regret that. It happened too fast. No second chance. Isaiah 25:9, And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The day of Christ's coming is a day of judgment upon the world. The scriptures declare, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, upon all. Jude 14. Behold, I don't read well today. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Matthew 25:32. But before that day, God warns men of what is coming. We get enough for notice. He has always given men warning of coming judgments. Some believed the warnings and obeyed the word of God. They escaped the judgments that fell upon the disobedient and unbelieving. Next slide, please. Before he destroyed the world by a flood, God commanded Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me, Genesis 7:1. Noah obeyed and was saved. Before the destruction of Sodom, angels brought to Lot a message. Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city, Genesis 19:14. Lot had half a day's warning. The people that lived before the flood had 120 years of warning. So now we are warned of Christ's second coming and of the destruction that is to fall upon the world, and all who heed the warning will be saved. How long have we had a warning? Ever since we were born. The righteous, as they behold Christ at his coming, will exclaim, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Isaiah 25:9. This is taken from the story of Jesus, page 179 and 180. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part two of this new chapter of our lesson, A Day of Judgment, in our Tiny Thought lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will be taking place. It's February 28, 2026. It will be updated and sent back by God's grace. And before we continue on our review, we're going to share this closing scripture song from Isaiah 25, verse 1. Now we're going to hand it back to our dear brother to review the lessons.
All right, in review, what is the day of Christ's coming?
The answer to number one is a day of judgment upon the world.
A day of judgment. The righteous have already been judged. When Christ comes, the brightness of his coming will slay, kill, cause to perish all the wicked. That begins their judgment. It will continue in heaven. What happens before that day?
The answer to number two is God warns men of what is coming.
That's right. I think it's Hosea 4:6 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And you know, God requires Satan to reveal his plans in advance also. And he does. All right, number three. Which two men in our lesson were saved from judgment after obeying God's warning?
Amen. The answer to number three is Noah and Lot.
Noah and Lot. Noah was told, come into the ark, here's your family. He went. Lot was told, let's go. No, we don't want to go. So finally the angel, Sister White says, took him by the hand and led them out to the outskirts of the city and said, flee and don't look back. Just the two men were saved. All right, and a bonus question. What will the righteous exclaim as they see Christ coming?
The answer to the bonus question is, well, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us.
That's right. Why do they say this is our God? Because the wicked have said, this is our God, and it's Satan personating Christ, trying to look like him and leading people to be happy in their sins. But the righteous say, this is our God. Thank you for participating.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, little ones. Sorry. I will be updating the review. Some of the section was not updated from the last Sabbath, so forgive me, dear ones. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. We are going to ask any of the little ones or the elder sibling, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to open our family review with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
I have a question for everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. And please protect us. Now protect us as we're going to be learning new things about you. Please protect us as you put, as we get to put little thoughts and answers and little sentences into our brains. Protect everybody who's here, people who are not here. Protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is time for tiny thoughts and parents to review what they have learned from the last lesson, but the first one, in God's creation through nature. We are still in our Bible topic, Moments of the Bible. So this Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, and those that are listening later on recording and also on other devices, we will go over part one of a new lesson from last Sabbath in our nature segment entitled Waters. Walking on water, sorry. So let's have a listening ears, little one, for our dear brother would share.
So blessings, everyone. This is our review of our topic, Moments of the Bible, taken from Family Bible Lesson 4 FBL, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 10, Walking on Water. The Bible verses for our nature segment review of Lesson 10 entitled Walking on Water. Opening scriptures taken from John 6:19. When they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. In Matthew 4:26-27 reads, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were told, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. The memory verse for today is Hebrews 12:1. And it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And the character quality of the story is thankfulness versus ingratitude. Thankfulness is the expression of gratitude to God and to others for how they have benefited one's life. We'll be reviewing in Lesson 3, The Body of the Lion, we'll be reading about the spiritual insight before the nature lesson. The watcher. Jesus had not forgotten them. The watcher on the shore saw those fear-stricken men battling with the tempest. Not for a moment did he lose sight of his disciples. With deepest solicitude, his eyes called the storm-tossed boat with its precious burden, for these men were to be the light of the world. As a mother in tender love watches her child, so the compassionate master watched his disciples. When their hearts were subdued, their unholy ambition quelled, and in humility they prayed for help he had given them. At the moment when they believed themselves lost, a gleam of light reveals a mysterious figure approaching them upon the water, but they know not that it is Jesus. The one who has come for their help they count as enemy. Terror overpowers them. The hands that have grasped the oars with muscles like iron let go their holds. The boat rocks at the will of the waves. All eyes are riveted on this vision of a man walking upon the white-capped billows of a foaming sea. They seek a phantom that omens their destruction, and they cry out for fear. Jesus advances as if he would pass them, but they recognize him and cry out, "In Jesus' help," their beloved master returns, his voice silent as their fear. "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." The desire to use page 381. Here in remind, in things you can do while you remember today's lesson. One, as you work together as a family, let your chores remind you of your lessons. Two, in the morning, when father or mother call you to arrive, be thankful to hear their voice and jump right up to pray, be dressed, and study your Bible. Three, when father uses his pocket knife and then closes it for anybody else close to with you, remember how lions withdraw their sharp claws into a sheath when they are not being used. Four, do not attract Satan by murmuring words. Practice thankfulness. Practice being graceful in your movements like a lion that is coming and going. Watch cats to see how lightly and quietly they move about, like this one from below that instruction. Here in reinforce activities you can do to help you remember today's lesson. One, look for mammals, use a guidebook to identify them. Two, notice people's voices. Some are soft and melodious, others are raspy, while some roar. Try to cultivate a sweet, soft, melodious voice. Three, for individual activities, stories and poems, use the book and talk children's Bible activities, stories and poems for the quarter. Four, say your memory verse. And above the picture of the lion, the male lion, in Bible times, the lions were plentiful in the Middle East. Today, all the African lions still exist in the wild. Here, remarkable parent food. If professed Christians were all sincere and earnest in their efforts to promote the glory of God, what a stir would be made in the enemy's wake. Satan is earnest and sincere in his work. He does not want souls saved. He does not want his power upon them broken. Satan does not merely pretend. He is in earnest. He beholds Christ inviting souls to come to him, that they may have life. That he is earnest and zealous in his efforts to prevent them from accepting the invitation. He will leave no means untried to prevent them from leaving his ranks and standing in the ranks of Christ. Why cannot the professed followers of Jesus do as much for him as his enemies do against him? Why not do all they can? Satan does all he can to keep souls from Christ. He was once an honored angel in heaven. And although he has lost his holiness, he has not lost his power. He exerts his power with terrible effect. He does not wait for his prey to come to him. He hunts. He goes to and fro the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He does not always wear the ferocious look of the lion, but when he can work earth to better effect, he transforms himself into an angel of light. He can readily exchange the roar of the lion for the most persuasive argument, or for the softest whisper. He has legions of angels to aid him in his work. He often conceals his sin, and allures by pleasing deception. He charms and deludes many by flattering their vanity. Through his agents, he presents the pleasures of the world in an attractive light, and strews the path to hell with tempting flowers, and thus souls are charmed and moved. After every advanced step in the downward road, Satan has some special temptation to lead them still further on the wrong track. Second Testimony, pages 286 to 287. The body of a lion, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. What are the different body parts of a lion? Lions have a variety of body parts that work together to help them survive in their environment. Some of the key body parts of a lion include their sharp teeth, powerful jaws, strong legs, and flexible spine. They also have a thick mane, which is more prominent in males, and a tail that helps them balance and communicate with other lions. What are some key features of a lion's anatomy? One of the most distinctive features of a lion's anatomy is their powerful muscles, which allow them to run and jump with great speed and agility. They also have sharp claws that they use for hunting and defending themselves. Their flexible spine and strong legs make it easy for them to move quickly and gracefully, while their keen senses of sight, smell, and hearing help them locate prey and avoid danger. Information from visualdictionary.com. Here it says here that a group of lions is known as a pride. The lions are unique among cats in that they live in a group or pride. That's what the group of them is called. One moment here, my computer's getting low again. The members of a pride typically spend the day in several scattered groups that may unite to hunt or share a meal. A pride consists of several generations of lionesses, some of which are related, a smaller number of breeding males, and their cubs. The group may consist of a few as four or as many as 37 members, but about 15 is the average size. General characteristics. The male lion, such as his name Panthera leo, is in the Masai Mara National Reserve, Kenya, which is the picture of the lion of upper right picture. The lion or lioness, whose scientific name is also Panthera leo, and is referring to the lioness picture on bottom right. This here, the lion is a well-muscled cat with a long body, a large head, and short legs. Size and appearance vary considerably between the sexes. The male's outstanding characteristic is his mane, which varies between different individuals and populations. It may be entirely lacking, it may fringe the face, or it may be full and shaggy. covering the back, the head, neck, and shoulders, and continuing onto the throat and chest to join a fringe along the belly. In some lions, the mane and fringe are very dark, almost black, giving the cat a majestic appearance. Manes make males look larger, and they serve to intimidate rivals and impress prospective mates. A full-grown male is about 1.8 to 2.1 meters, or 6 to 7 feet long, excluding the 1-meter tail. He stands about 1.2 meters high at the shoulder and weighs 170 to 230 kilograms, or 370 to 500 pounds. The female, or lioness, is smaller with a body length of 1.5 meters, a shoulder height of 0.9 to 1.1 meters, and a weight of 120 to 180 kilograms. The lion's coat is short and varies in color from buff yellow, orange brown, or silvery gray to dark brown, with a tuft on the tail tip that is usually darker than the rest of the coat. Here, the lion's body. The lion's skin is covered with short, tawny fur that provides camouflage in the grasslands where they live. Male lions have a distinctive mane of longer, darker hair around their necks and heads, which helps them appear larger and more intimidating to other animals. Underneath their fur, lions have tough, elastic skin that allows them to move quickly and easily. They also have specialized sweat glands in their paws that help them leave scent marks while they walk. Overall, the lion's body is built for strength, speed, and agility. Their muscular structure allows them to run up to 50 miles per hour for short distances, while their powerful jaws and sharp teeth make them feel comfortable. Permission to visualdictionary.org/lion-anatomy. How is a lion's body structured for survival? A lion's body is perfectly adapted to help them survive in their environment. Their sharp teeth and powerful jaws allow them to catch and kill prey, while their strong legs and flexible spine make it easy for them to move quickly and avoid danger. They also have a thick mane and tail that help them communicate with other lions and establish dominance within their pride. What are the main organs of a lion's body? Like all mammals, lions have a variety of organs that work together to keep them alive. Some of the most important organs in a lion's body include their heart, lungs, liver, and kidneys. These organs help them breathe, digest food, and eliminate waste, while their powerful muscles and sharp senses allow them to hunt and defend themselves. And over here in this diagram, we see the inner parts of a lion's muscular body. The African lion, note the very large muscles in the forelimbs and hind limbs. We have the masseter, the quadrotrapezius, acromiotrapezius, sternomastoid, levator scapulae, spinodelphin, the dorsi, the triceps, the tendinitis, biceps femoris, and the digital extensor. And over here is the lion's skeletal anatomy, and it's drawn by some feral hound. We have the skull, the eye socket, the ear opening, the scapula or shoulder blade, the spine, the mandible or lower jaw, humerus, the ribs, the phalanges or fingers, the ulna, radius, the metacarpus, patella or kneecap, the other phalanges, which are the toes, the femur, the pelvis, the tibia, and the metatarsus. And on our bottom left side, you see the parts of their paws and claws. Here, parts of a claw is the keratin cuticle, the live dermis or quick, the distal phalanx, the middle phalanx, the lacerigial flexor tendon, the taut elastic ligament, the extensor process, the taut digital flexor tendon, and the pivot point. And over here, we have a diagram of a lion's skull. So parts of this, the lion's teeth. We have the frontal, the nasal, the maxilla, the temporal fossa, tympanic bulla, zygomatic arch, the canine, the mesenteric fossa, and the body of dentary, which is part of the jaw. And here we have a picture of a lion eating its prey, lion, panther, or leo eating its prey. There's next to it, observe a predatory lion prime, a typical day of grooming, playing, hunting, eating prey, and sleeping lion. Panther or leo engaging in various activities such as hunting, eating, grooming, and sleeping. Here in this slide, speaking about the lion's tongue, this is the papillae on lion's tongue. The papillae are hollow keratin structures. Keratin is a protein based fibrous molecule found in nails, claws, and hair. However, the unique features that make the lion papillae a distinct from those of other animals is that they are hard, sharp, hooked, and can be bent backward in their mouth compared to the typical round and soft ones in most species. The papillae are linked to the soft, flexible skin of the tongue, enabling it to twist and change its direction. They improve their efficiency when scoring and scraping into fur or flesh while preventing the tongue from wear and tear. They're also effective at removing tangles and knots from their prey's fur without straining or snagging. Information from www.explorationjunkie.com/lion tongue. Here in this slide is a male's distinction. A lion, scientific name, Panthera leo, large, powerfully built cat, family Felidae, that is second in size only to the tiger, is a famous apex predator, being without a natural predator or enemy. The proverbial king of beasts, the lion has been one of the best known wild animals in the earliest times, including Bible times. Lions are most active at night and live in a variety of habitats, but prefer grasslands, savanna, dense scrub, and open woods. Historically, they range across. Most cats are patterned with spots, stripes, or rosette, but some, such as the puma, whose scientific name is Puma concolor, Jaguarundi, scientific name is Herpalurus, Jaguarundi, and the lion, and Panthera leo, are uniform in color. Black or nearly black coats occur in individuals of special species. Although lynx, whose scientific name is genus lynx, have a stubby tail, most cats have a long tail that makes up about a third of an animal's total length. The head is characterized by a short nose and round face, usually with short ears. The only cat with a well-developed mane is the male African lion. Cat feet have sharp claws that are retractile, except in the cheetah. In most species, the male is larger than the female. In the picture above the male lion on the top left, a male lion, the distinguishing feature of the male lion, Panthera leo, is its mane, which makes the animal look larger and may serve to intimidate rivals or impress prospective mates. Information on Britannica.com/animal/lion. Here are five facts, a description about lions. One is their social behavior. Lions are the only true social cat species, living in pride, cooperative hunting, and communal cub rearing. Two is the powerful roar. Their roar can be heard up to 5 miles away, used for territorial defense and pride communication. three female hunters. Lionesses are the primary hunters in the tribe, employing coordinated strategies to catch prey. Four, male mane significance. The male lion's mane signals health, strength, and dominance, influencing mate selection and territorial display. Yes, screen is five miles. How far their roar can be heard. And finally, five, vulnerable conservation status. Lions are listed as vulnerable due to habitat loss, human wildlife conflict, poaching, and disease. Urgent conservation efforts are needed to protect their population. Here, information from more of five facts about lions. The Institute of Environmental Research and Education. Here. That's how loud their roar is and how far it can be heard from. So far, what it sounds like. It says here that lions roar to proclaim their territory and to assert dominance. This vocalization is particularly important for male lions, who use it to signal their presence and deter rival males from encroaching on their domain. By doing so, they help maintain the pride's territory and safety. Their distinctive roar is generally delivered in the evening before a night's hunting, and again before getting up at dawn. Roaring also plays a crucial role in social bonding and coordination within the pride, which typically consists of several generations of lions, a few green males, and their cubs. The roar helps keep pride members connected, especially when they are scattered across their territory. It allows them to locate each other and regroup, which is essential for hunting and sharing meals. This vocalization strengthens the social bonds among pride members and ensures their collective survival. Over here, it tells where the pictures of these lions from the bottom left are located. The lions in Ngorongoro Conservation Area. Information from www.britannica.com/lions/why-do-lions-roar. Did you also know lions can run at speeds of up to 50 miles per hour? Here, biomechanics of lion speed. Lions can sprint up to 50 miles per hour toward birth, a testament to their remarkable biomechanics. Their unique combination of muscle structure, bone density, and limb proportion makes them formidable runners. Muscle structure. Lions possess densely packed muscles rich in fat twitch fibers. These fibers are crucial for explosive bursts of speed, contracting rapidly to provide the power needed for swift acceleration. The bone density. The bone density in lions is optimized for both strength and lightness. This balance allows them to support their muscular build without being weighed down, crucial for maintaining high speed. In limb proportions, long, powerful hind legs provide the thrust necessary for high-speed chasing, while shorter front legs for stability and balance. This combination ensures efficient and effective movement. Information from natureandwildlife.tv/lion. Here are some types of lions. We have the West African lion, the Transvaal lion, the Congo lion, the Nubian lion, the Southwest African lion, and the Asiatic lion. These next two slides talk about two lion species that went extinct. Here's the first one, the Barbary lion, whose scientific name is Panthera leo stelvia. The Barbary lion representatives of this extinct lion population once inhabited large areas of North Africa's Maghreb region, north of Sahara. From the Atlas Mountains in Morocco east to Egypt, Barbary lions are best known for their large size and the long, dark manes and nails. And here is the last known photograph of a Barbary lion in the wild back in 1925. Lions range all across all of North America and Africa through most of the Balkans and across Anatolia and in the Middle East into India. Genetic studies suggest that the lion evolved in Eastern and Southern Africa, diversifying into a number of subspecies, including the Barbary lion, scientific name is Pedro Leo Leo of North Africa, the cave lion, P. Leo Stelia of Europe, the American lion, P. Leo Atrox of North and Central America, and the Asiatic lion, P. Leo Persica. Barbary lion, subspecies of Panthera leo leo, extinct lion population that once inhabited large areas of North Africa's Maghreb region north of the Sahara from the Atlas Mountains in Morocco east to Egypt. Barbary lions were known for their size and admiration for them dates back at least to the Roman Empire, whose officials used Barbary lions in their gladiatorial games. Although wild Barbary lions were largely extirpated by European hunters by the late 19th century, studies suggest that the wild specimens may have survived into the 1960s. Several individuals purported to have been pure-blooded Barbary lions were kept by the Moroccan royal family until the 1970s, and the descendants of these lions can be found in several zoos today. Barbary lions, along with the Asiatic lions and African lions from West Africa and Central Africa, are classified in the lions of species P. leo leo. Although some studies conducted early in the 21st century recognized as many as 11 subspecies of living lions, by 2017, additional studies reported strong evidence for only two, P. leo leo, which includes lions from West and Central Africa, eastward to India, and those formerly of North Africa, the Middle East, and Southeastern Europe, and P. leo melanocheta, which includes lions from Southern Africa and East Africa. Information from www.britannica.com/animal/barbary lion, and Jack Lyon Facts Britannica. And then we have the cave lion, Asiatic lion, another extinct species. Here we have cave lion, Panthera leo stelia. Cave lion, also known as European cave lion and Eurasian cave lion, is a common name for an extinct large wild felis, Panthera leo stelia, or P. stelia. The cave lion is a member of the Panthera genus, which includes four large cats among its extant members, the lion, Panthera leo, the tiger, Panthera tigris, the jaguar, Panthera onca, and the leopard, Panthera pardus. The Asiatic lion, a subspecies of Panthera leo leo, with populations of lions whose geographic range once extended from Turkey to India. In the present day, however, wild Asiatic lions are limited to India's GER protected area, which is within a dry deciduous forest and includes the GER National Park and a handful of smaller habitats in the western Indian state of Gujarat. Wildlife experts note that between 500 to 700 wild Asiatic lions were made, with an additional 400 individuals kept in captivity in zoos throughout India and Europe. Although the Asiatic traditionally has been classified as the subspecies P. leo persica, research suggests that Asiatic lions and the lions of Central and West Africa should be classified together as subspecies P. leo leo. And over here on the top right, we see picture of the Asiatic lion. Its scientific name is Panthera leo persica, but its better classification names are Indian lion and Persian lion. The Asiatic lion, Panthera leo leo, a male here's a picture of a male gadfly in Bir National Park, Gujarat State, India. Information from www.newworldencyclopedia.org/entry/cavelion and www.britannica.com/animal/asiaticlion. Here are two man-made species of two cats called the liger and the tiger. They're hybrids of both the lion and the tiger, but they aren't made by nature. They're made by man, which is considered an amalgamation to a god. Here are examples of hybrid mammals, the liger and the tiger. The diagram shows how different combinations of tigers and lions produce ligers and tigers, and through tigers and helio. Here we have a male lion, which weighs 170 to 230 kilograms, 370 to 500 pounds, crossed with a female tiger, who is slightly smaller than a male tiger, and they're forced to give birth to the liger, this male liger, who signed and their weight is about 400 kilograms or 900 pounds. And next we have a male tiger. His weight is 150 to 230 kilograms or 350 to 500 pounds, crossed with a female lion whose weight is 120 to 100 kilograms or 265 to 397 pounds. We have a tiger. This one is a male. It's the same size as or smaller than the parents. And over here on our top and bottom right, we have a male lion, Panther Leo, from the Ngorongoro Conservation Area, and a tiger, a Bengal tiger to be exact, in the Bandhavgarh National Park, Madhya Pradesh, India. Information from cdn.britannica.com, /7215707050465A4E77F/lion-tigers-ligers-tigers-mammals.jpg. Lion in Ngorongoro Conservation Area, the JPG, which is the website that has that picture. Our reference reading of our lesson of mammals of the Bible review taken from our study book, The Desire Pages, Chapter 40, A Night on the Lake, Part 4, continuing. Jesus had not forgotten. The watcher on the shore saw those fear-stricken men battling with the tempest. Not for a moment did he lose sight of his disciples. With deepest solicitude, his eyes followed the storm-tossed boat with its precious burden. For these men were to be the light of the world, as a mother in tender love watches her child. For the compassionate master watched his disciples. When their hearts were subdued, their unholy ambition quelled, and in humility they prayed for help. It was given them. The Desire Readers, page 381, paragraph 1. At the moment when they believe themselves lost, a gleam of light reveals a mysterious figure approaching them upon the water. They know not that it is Jesus. The one who has come for their help they count as an enemy. Terror overpowers them. The hands that have grasped the oars with muscles like iron let go their hold. The boat rocks at the will of the waves. All eyes are riveted on this mission of a man. Walking upon the white-capped billows of a foaming sea, they think it a phantom that omens their destruction, and they cry out for fear. Continuing, Jesus advances as if he would pass them, but they recognize him. They cry out, entreating his help. Their beloved master returns, his voice is silent in their ears. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Diabetes, page 281, paragraph 3. As soon as they could credit the wondrous fact, Peter was almost beside himself with joy, as if he could scarcely yet believe. He cried out, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the waters. And he said, come. Looking unto Jesus, Peter walks securely, but as in self-satisfaction, he glances back toward his companions in the boat. His eyes are turned from the Savior. The wind is boisterous. The waves roll high and come directly between him and the Master, and he is afraid. For a moment, Christ is hidden from his view, and his face gives way. He begins to sink. But while the billows talk with death, Peter lifts his eyes from the angry waters and fixing them upon Jesus Christ, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus grasped the outstretched hand, saying, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Walking side by side, Peter's hand and that of his master, they stepped into the boat together, but Peter was now subdued and silent. He had no reason to boast over his fellows, but through unbelief and self-exaltation, he had very nearly lost his life. When he turned his eyes from Jesus, his flame was lost, and he sank amidst the waves. Zarvated, page 381, paragraph 4, 5, and here are a few bonus questions. You can find the answers in the Bible or the lesson book, or in the Desire of Ages as well. Question 1, who did the disciples see walking on the sea? Good reminder. Matthew 14, 26. 2, what did the disciples do when they saw Jesus? Matthew 14, 26. 3, how did Jesus respond? The answer is in Matthew 14, 27. Our closing hymn for our Torah study is entitled, Blessed Be the Tide That Binds. Blessed be the tide that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent praise. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comfort and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burden bear. And often for each other's foes, a sympathizing tear. When we are called to part, it gives us sympathy. For we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
We have come to the ending of our lesson, dear ones. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Then we bow our heads on our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Thank you, Father Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for all these beautiful lessons of the animals in nature. Lord, thank you for all the lessons that you have allowed us to learn, and such a blessing to know so many things about the different animals. Be with us, Father Jesus, for the rest of the Sabbath day. Be with the little ones and their parents as well. Continue to bless them and keep them. Be with the speakers and the other participants in the rest of the day, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next week, by God's grace, we'll be continuing with part two of our new lesson entitled A Day of Judgment from our study book of the Toddlers, The Story of Jesus. And that will be held February 28, 2026. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.